welcome to the 52nd episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana.
Somewhere.
Somewhere on some podcast. I'm just like tongue-tied tonight. Where I study, write about, read about, teach, amongst other things, new media stuff, digital humanities, and video games. And I'm joined tonight, as in every podcast night, a little late because we have something special for you, by Alex Lane and Nicole Marie. Ladies.
5-hour energy!
Woo!
I'm Alex. I'm kind of tired tonight, but I otherwise am a PhD student at Purdue University. I'm not a student, I'm a candidate. Yeah, eat it. at Purdue, and I study gender issues in the video game industry. Yeah.
Woohoo! I'm a 5-hour energy drinker.
That's right.
Yeah. You can add that to your resume, right? That's the thing.
I have added some crazy shit to my resume, so absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm adding my new addiction to Mountain Dew Kickstart to mine.
There you go.
Good. I like
Maybe Mountain Dew will hire you to write rhetoric on their cans of drinks. Oh, my gosh.
Maybe. I had to do something because the women at Starbucks were starting to look at me funny because I would pick up a double shot and slam it while I was waiting for my coffee in line.
Oh, I respect that about you.
Yeah, I used to be a barista, and that's totally something I'd be. I would do double shots with you and be like at the bar, sipping the espresso.
When I was in Mexico, I discovered the most delicious drink. It was an espresso martini, and Ooh. It was a shot of espresso, vodka, some sort of coffee liqueur, and they made the rim. They put sugar, like a crystallized sugar or whatever, sugar in the raw or on the rim.
Yummy.
Oh my god, it was so good. I drank so many until I got really sick. But who knows what that had to do with.
Nothing like excess.
Yeah. Indeed.
That sounds really good.
It was good.
Wow.
So, Nicole,
did I not introduce myself yet? Okay. Hey, what's up? So I'm Nicole Marie, and I guess now I'm a convention extraordinaire person. Indeed, because we rocked that up on our stage.
We're at C's, we're on the stage, and Barton's like, we're on a stage. What is this? And I was like, yeah. Clearly you haven't presented with Samantha Blackman on your list before, because she always gets the stage. And he's like, so like me and Nicole are talking and we look up and he's down at like a table with somebody else, like reading through a program. Like, what are you doing, Matt? Get back up here. He's
like, and then he's going to present from one of the tables.
Yeah. He's like, can I present from down here? No, you cannot. And when we were talking, we look back and he's sitting in the back row of the audience, like just chilling.
Oh my God.
It was so, so funny.
It was good.
I'm going to fall off the stage. I have to send you down here.
Yeah.
Okay, Alex, let me just let you know that you are officially the last person around here in town that to play like Tomb Raider, because I'm looking at my Raptor list and Tatius is now playing Tomb Raider.
I know, man. I was at Target today and I was sitting there and I had Tomb Raider and then I had the new Gears of War. And I'm going to ask you guys about it tonight when I get to my what I played, because I want your opinion on it. So,
all right, let's get to it then.
Let's get to it.
Did you introduce yourself yet, Nicole?
Yes, she did. Like, remember, she's the conventioner extraordinaire.
That's right.
Yep.
See, you're all late to the party.
I guess so.
Yeah.
So okay, folks. We'll start out with the usual, what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking, and go into news and our feature of the week. Let's call it that this week.
I like it.
What you playing, Alex Lane?
I am playing the wonderfully racist Tribes, which is an iOS game. It is like kind of like Civilization without the depth mixed with Farmville. It's super fun. You are a white imperialist scientist, and you go in to impose civilization and order on this tribe in the rainforest, although it's not really a rainforest because there's like pine trees and shit, so I don't know. But it is like, but it's not like, normally when you have a game like that, it would be sort of reflective about how awful it is, but it's totally not. I think the Avatar guy made this or something.
Oh my god. Okay, I downloaded this, and just the loading screen is horrible. There's this big, buxom, brown-haired white woman, because she's apparently white, right? You gotta make her white so she's sexy, because you can't be sexually attracted to. Well, she's white. And next to her is a very short, very brown native man.
Yeah.
Who looks like, I don't know, he might be a pygmy or something?
Yeah. I don't know.
And they have him with this like horrible deformed face.
Yeah,
this is bad. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, you made me install this damn thing, so now you're gonna be subject to me bitching about it all the time.
Yeah, like I said before, since when have we stayed away from a game because we knew it was racist or sexist, right? We have to get right in there. Yeah, so it's bad. It's supposed to be like back in the caveman era, you like ride around on dinosaurs and shit at one point.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There's lots of good game qualities to it, right? But you certainly cannot divorce that from the awfulness of it. So I'm excited to have you play that some more, Sam, and you can let me know what you think.
I'm tripping on it already. Go ahead.
I know. Okay, so I played some Kingdoms of Amalur, some 3DS Harvest Moon, the new one, some 3DS Animal Crossing. I played Blockheads, which we'll talk about when Sam talks about it. But the two things that I am proudest of these last couple weeks are that I finished Skylanders Giants.
Woo!
I know, I'm so excited, which is awesome because despite all of my leveled up characters and everything, I still haven't been able to finish Spyro's Adventure because I can't beat the last boss. And I have busted my ass trying to level my guys up to do that. And I've watched the YouTube videos of them beating it. But it's like a 25-minute long fight. And I just can't stay alive that long. It's so hard.
How many characters do you have? I mean, how many little thingies?
I don't know, like 10 or 15.
Maybe you need more.
Yeah, maybe.
Well. Is that a real thing? Are you making a joke right now? You need more than 15?
You shouldn't. But...
but if you have more, you can beat, because you'll have those extra ones going.
Right, so you can just keep them alive and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's, I keep like I kept playing Giants and then coming back and trying, and I get close, but I can't beat it. So I don't know, whatever. And I, you know what though, like Skylanders Giants, I beat really quickly, and I'm not gonna keep investing money in the guys if you beat the game so quickly and like there's like nothing to do with them, you know. Like I love leveling them up and doing stuff with them, but well, there's like nothing to do now, you know. So unless they start pumping out more games for you to play your guys with, then I'm not gonna buy anymore.
Well, they will. They have the adventure packs that you can buy that are like DLC.
Yeah, I know. I have some of them, but they're just not that substantive. I got like the pirate ship, and I got I don't know, a few of the other ones. They're fine, but yeah, it's just not super substantive, so.
So you really got a monkey on your back, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's fine. I enjoyed it. I got plenty of fun out of it. I'm just not going to keep investing a bunch of money in it. You know, I've already spent plenty of money on them. but the number one thing that I am the most proud of that I have done in like a month, in like 6 years, really, is I finished Coldcept Saga. Like, this motherfucking game. So it has 105 hours logged on Rapture, but I played so many hours offline, so I don't know if it counts that or not.
No.
Sounds like someone's taking a shower. But anyway.
I hear that. Is it me? I mean, it's not me. So.
You don't hear it, Nicole?
No.
Oh, it's got to be you then.
Weird.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, this fucking game, like, I played so many times I was 100% convinced I was at the last boss. It was like, finally, the trial of light. And then it'd be like, bah, 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 or it'd be like the last guy. And it's like, you've completed the trial of light. Now on to your next 6 trials. And I'd be like, damn it. So I'd finish the 6 of those. And then it'd be like, you have unlocked this thing. Now for 6 more of these things to do. And I was like, no. So I kept thinking I was at the end boss. And then finally, like a couple weeks ago, I get to like the end. I like meet the like goddess and I have like blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, now you have created a new world. It's like my cold setness made a new world. So then I had to go beat that too. And I just kept playing and playing and playing. And then I finally beat this one and the credits came up and I took a bunch of pictures of the TV screen because I was so happy that I had finally beat it. So
that it was over.
It's not that I don't like playing, and I'm gonna keep playing the game because you can make your own boards and then play with people online, and I have some friends that play, so I'm very excited to do that. But it was like driving me nuts that I hadn't beat this game yet. So I'm very, very happy that I beat that.
Yeah, you gotta get that feeling of accomplishment.
Well, exactly. And like I kept thinking I was there, and I would be like, yeah. And then it'd be like, okay, you've unlocked part 1 of 4. Like, no.
Oh, my God.
I know, exactly. So, quite happy. That was my biggest accomplishment. And then also, so everyone has Tomb Raiders, and I kind of want to buy Gears of War Judgment. I really can't afford both. What do you guys think I should do? Should I get Judgment and then I'll borrow someone's Tomb Raider?
No, because you got to wait for somebody to finish Tomb Raider to borrow it.
Yeah, it's not going to be too long. It's not like I have a ton of time to play right now. No, you think, man. Tomb Raider?
I really want you to play Gears of War.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing it?
Is it out yet? Was it today?
Yeah, today.
Today.
I didn't pick it up yet.
Are you gonna?
I really want to. I mean, I'm super pumped. I'm like total Gears of War fangirl, though. Yeah. So yeah, there's huge bias there going on.
I think it's gonna be stupid. I'm so tired of prequels.
But I like the idea of Baird kind of being the center of attention. Mm-hmm. You know, because we did the whole Marcus Fenix thing, and Dom was a pretty big, you know, point of contention in the second and third.
Okay, so here's what you do. You go to Redbox, you rent Tomb Raider. Right?
Not a bad idea.
There you go.
I'm with you.
You play a bit of it, and you see how much you really want to keep playing it. Because Tomb Raider it's not the old Tomb Raider. It's new Tomb Raider. The gameplay is totally different. Mm-hmm. So play it a bit and see what you think of it. See if you are totally and completely hooked like everybody else has been once you start playing it. Because you know what Gears of War is going to be like. Gears of War is never going to change.
Yeah, I know.
And you can always rent that from, you know, you can always rent that from Redbox and play it for a night or two and be perfectly happy.
That's true. Okay. All right, I'll do that. Good advice. Thank you, team.
Yeah. Woo! More like, thanks, Sam, because I just said go buy Gears of War.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I wanted diverse opinions. I like that.
I mean, I definitely think you need to play Tomb Raider.
I'm definitely going to play it. I just didn't know if I should, since it just seemed like everybody's bought it already, and I'm already behind, and I'm not going to be able to start really playing it for a little while. So.
Well, I haven't even really gotten to the multiplayer aspect of it yet, so I don't know how much replayability there isn't that yet.
Sam, you said the multiplayer wasn't great, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to try it out no matter what, but I mean, we could talk. I mean, are we talking about Tomb Raider right now, or are we going to all go through our games? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, let's go through our games. We'll talk about Tomb Raider when we get to you.
I think that we should wait to do the main Tomb Raider stuff until I play it. And other people have had a chance to play it.
All right, so we're not talking about Tomb Raider.
No, we're not going to do Tomb Raider, like, spoilers or nothing like that.
Great.
Okay.
Mostly just the rape scene stuff. I want to wait until I actually play it.
Okay, we won't talk about it.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. It's my turn. What have I been playing? Okay, so I posted on the blog, so everybody knows, P has got a Ni No Kuni monkey on her back. So I have been playing Ni No Kuni every single day. And sometimes multiple times a day. But what the cutest thing was is that yesterday I dropped her off at school. And yesterday was one of the days she told me she wasn't going to school because she was going to stay home and play the game. Which is her newest thing.
Oh my God. Like mother, like daughter. or like Alex, like daughter.
I was going to say like Alex, like daughter. She tried that last week because it was spring break for me. So she knew I was home. So every day she kept trying to tell me she was going to stay home. And she was going to play Ni No Kuni. See, I wasn't even home. I mean, I was off, but I was out doing things that, you know, trying to catch up on stuff that needed to be done and I hadn't been able to do when school was in. So I played, like, no games during the day until, like, Friday last week, which was sucked. But that's another story. So been playing a whole lot of Ni No Kuni. So I dropped her off at school, picked her up yesterday afternoon, and she goes, "Mom, today I told Danju all about the game." I was like, "The game?" She's like, "Yeah, Ni No Kuni." And I was like, "Oh, really?" She was like, "And then we pretended we were kids in Ni No Kuni and we went on adventures and we did nature hikes." And I was like, "Oh my God, I've turned my daughter into a LARPer."
Oh my God. Oh,
that's adorable. Look what you've started.
I know.
So
now she's started.
You should be proud and ashamed of yourself.
She started to role play Ni No Kuni.
Oh my God. Now you're going to be the mom who's making like plastic swords for her daughter. And
so I was like, the cutest thing, I'm going to have to get her a red cape and a little wand so she can play Oliver.
That's awesome. That's yeah. So many levels of awesome. She's so cute.
So, yeah.
I mean, you can't complain about playing a lot of that game, though, because I'm so super jealous of your even having the ability to play it.
Yeah, that would be true, because you have no PS3.
I know. Oh, sad.
Oh, speaking of which, my Xbox got the Red Ring of Death this week. And what? My other Xbox has now broken to the point where it will not open. So that happened.
How often have you cleaned it? You need to take that bad boy apart.
Well, the thing is that my one Xbox that doesn't open, I got like the first month that Xbox came out, like 6 years ago or 7 years ago or whatever. So like, yeah. It's been through the Red Ring of Death already, that one. The other one is the one that you lent me, Sam, from school. That just Red Ring of Death. So.
Turn it off, leave it off for a while, and then restart it. Sometimes they'll come back on.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing right now. But I have no Xbox, no nothing. It's very sad in my house right now.
That's
but
weird.
Thank God that I was able to finish Cold Set Saga before that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was in Vegas, Mike just sent me a picture of the Red Ring.
No. That's pretty fantastic.
I know. I got that backup one at school, though, so if I had to do something, like if I had to buy Tomb Raider, then I could still play it on that.
You know. Which you have to, so.
Indeed. Indeed. Sorry. I'm sorry. Continue on.
Tomb Raider. Been playing Tomb Raider. Quite a bit of Tomb Raider, but I can only play it after the kid goes to bed because, you know, there's no way in hell anybody should be playing that game around a kid. But we'll talk about that, I'm sure, at some point.
Yes.
So after she goes to bed, yeah, she hasn't even seen that game on the screen, much less seen me play it. And we'll talk about that when we get to Nicole. I played a little indie game on Steam. I actually posted about it as well because it was something that I had played to kind of help me, it was kind of psychotherapy, I suppose, to help me get through or help me deal with kind of some own thoughts that I had about some deaths that had occurred in my family. Well, right before we had a huge death in my family, which was the death of my grandmother. So after my grandmother died, I actually wrote a post about it, and I posted it on the blog, was To the Moon, which was an interesting little game where you play scientists who are able to, for the dying, recreate kind of this one wish, the one thing that they wished that they had done in their lives. They're able to go into their minds and make them relive their lives so that this one thing happens. But it's such an extensive process that this is, of course, the very last thing you do before you die, because the process kills you. So I was thinking a lot about changing things that happened in our lives, and how that would play out. And this game was kind of a way to help me think through that. I'm not going to talk too much about it because I don't want to get depressed. I want to drink and eat cheese Woo-hoo! Sticks and Wheat Thins.
Yeah, I support the latter.
But if you're interested, go to the blog and read about it. I posted it a couple of weeks back. I can't even remember what the title of it was. But it's about To the Moon. It's a good game. It's an interesting post. Check it out if you haven't seen it already. I also played a bit, probably no more than 2 or 3 hours, because I wasn't really interested in it as a game. I just wanted to check it out, of Crysis 3, because I rented it and played it for a bit and then took it back. It was pretty fun for a shooter. You know, and it was great graphics.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a beautiful game. But I wasn't really in the shooter mood. I mean, I had too much other shit going on in my life, and shooters weren't where I was right then. So I may pick it up later and play it again after we have a slowdown from this every great game under the sun coming out all at once. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing a metric shit ton of Persona 4 Golden on the Vita. This is the most work my Vita has gotten in a long time. It's great. I've been on this JRPG kick for some strange reason.
You decided you wanted to play bad games. I totally get it. I do that sometimes.
You are a JRPG hater.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's totally God, unfair of
so
me.
So funny.
Just I want to do more than just click X over and over, you know.
But it's not throwing just some clicking A's, X some with B's. This. It's not just clicking X with this one, because like I said, I don't know if I said. Oh no, I said it's a lot like Ni No Kuni, but instead of being like a combination of Final Fantasy VII and Pokemon, it's like a combination of Pokemon and
Yeah, you're not selling it.
Well, I mean, because it doesn't have familiars. It's got Persona. So you have these monsters or, you know, Persona that come out and fight with you and for you. Oh, part dungeon crawler, part Pokemon. It's actually a whole shitload of fun, man. It's one of the most fun. Like I said, it's the most work my beat has gotten in a long time, and I put a lot of hours into this game. And I plan to play it all the way through. I don't give a shit how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to have to get Alexane to try it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, and there's this great narrative. There's this kind of mystery thing going on. You got people who are like being found dead and hanging from places in gruesome ways. I'm hearing weirdness. I think that's Nicole's mic again.
My mic?
Yeah, maybe it was just me.
That was me. I'm sorry. That was me.
Well, would you stop?
Well, I didn't mean to.
So, like I said, people, you know, being found dead, hanging from places in gruesome mass ways. But what's happening is, and if you turn on your TV at midnight on a rainy night, you can see people in the TV.
No, thank you.
Oh, you chicken shit. But people are... People are being thrown into the TV world by someone. I don't know yet. Like I said, it's got a great narrative. The mystery is kind of unfolding. But I have the power, along with some of my friends, to go into the TV world and fight all these monsters. They're called shadows. And save the people who have been thrown into the TV world. And that's what I use my persona for. Now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's fun, I'm telling you. I'm not shitting you. I shit you not. For some strange reason, I downloaded Sims Free Play on my phone. Because I got a new phone.
I've played that before. What did you think?
It's all right.
That's exactly what my thought was. It was eh. And I love The Sims.
This is true, eh. You do.
Yes, I do.
So, did you like it?
No, my reaction was exactly the same. It was, I didn't really play it again.
Yeah, I played it once. I don't know if I'm going to play it again. And then, I don't know why. Considering the fact that I have a deep, abiding hatred for Minecraft, I downloaded the Blockheads.
Yeah, I played it too. I did not realize. I'm so sorry. Damn you, 5-hour energy not working better. I downloaded it as well. I did not realize that it was a Minecraft Terraria thing.
But I put a whole lot of hours into that. Well, not a whole lot.
I was like, what?
Probably like 3 or 4. That's Jesus. A lot for an iOS game or for a mobile game.
Especially a boring one.
Well, I got kind of crazy and I was like, gotta build all this shit.
What I do like about it is that it lets you dictate what you do ahead of time, so you can click a bunch of stuff and then like look away.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that part.
So I've been playing it at the same time as I've been playing like Candy Crush and other stuff. So I'm playing it on my I'm playing the iOS version because I'm playing it on my iPad.
My mother is on like 150 on Candy Crush. She is nuts.
Are you kidding me?
No, I can't get past like 55. She's on this crazy level that you get like 6 moves. Oh my god, it's crazy.
I'm stuck on 65.
Yeah, I'm around.
Even started.
There. Oh, man.
Come on, Nicole. Join the madness. The first one's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway. So, like I said, I played a lot for an iOS game. Probably 4 or 5 hours of the Blockheads. Just because I wanted to build some stuff. And it was like, I need shelter. And I couldn't build walls. So, I built an underground shelter. And then I put my ladder to get out too close to the campfire, and it burned my ladder down.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
I was like, sons of bitches, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
So, but that's it. That's what I'm playing.
Woohoo!
Party, party.
See, I didn't even get to play very much.
We had a busy week.
Yeah. But I did pick up I picked up all at the same time Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, Crisis 3, and Tomb Raider. And I put Crisis 3 in first because I figured I would play through that faster than anything else. And like you said, the graphics are amazing. I'm really enjoying Prophet in this one. He's a sassy character that I just like.
Mm.
And I'm always in a first person shooter mood, so that works well with my lifestyle. So I really like it, but I didn't get to play it as much as I actually wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I barely even touched any part of the campaign, but it is good. I do like it a lot. I like it a whole lot. The bow and arrow. I mean, I know we were joking about that at like E3 and everything else. It was like bow and arrow everywhere. But now that we're finally playing the games with the bow and arrows, I'm pumped because I'm enjoying them.
Hmm.
Yeah, I like the bow and arrow a lot. So then I played a little bit of Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. And let me just say, okay, it didn't get super fantastic reviews because, I mean, not that they were bad by any means, but they weren't great because this new way, like kind of like new combat that he's like Kojima's using in this one. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, it's cool, but it's not seamless yet. you know how you have, like, your little samurai sword and you can cut through anything?
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool and it's really fun, but there's a lot of little kinks to it that makes it kind of frustrating at times. Like, the combat system is definitely far from perfect. But I like cutting up cars, so that's cool. I mean, you could literally walk up to anything and cut it into pieces. It's just so much fun. It's ridiculous. It's a surprising amount of fun. For being the huge Metal Gear fan that I am, like, I almost didn't pick up this game until I played the demo, and I was like, okay, I have to get it.
Sounds fun.
It's good. Plus, it's Metal Gear. I can't not buy it. No matter what, I would have bought it.
How much is it right now?
It's full price.
Oh, never mind.
Actually, no, it's not. What did I pay for it? I paid $40 for it. Maybe okay. It's not full price. I don't know. I only work at GameStop every now and then, so
mm-hmm.
I don't remember. But, yeah, so then now for the past, since I got back, so Saturday, so 2 or 3 days, I've been playing Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it a lot. And, you know, and we predicted that this would be, like, our game of the year. And there are some big contenders coming out this year, like BioShock Infinite. But this is a great game. It definitely is.
Well, damn it. Now I do have to buy it.
Well, I said it was going to suck. And I have to apologize to everybody at Crystal Dynamics. Okay.
But you also came back to say that it was your pick for game of the year.
I thought, like I said, I was like, I'm going to pre-order it. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to get this damn game, even though I think it's going to suck.
It's going to be horrible.
I said it. But at the same time, okay, I have to say, I suspect, nobody will ever admit it, I'm sure, that right. There are some things in that game that were altered after the shit hit the fan.
I'm pretty sure.
And then those things are apparent. We won't do spoilers.
No spoilers.
Now. We won't do spoilers.
No spoilers.
Well, because Alex hasn't played it, and the game has been out, what, just 2 weeks, right?
And we've been in Vegas for...
Right, and a lot of people probably haven't played it. Because, like, we know, like, Tatius, like, I think just started playing tonight. So some people are just starting to play the game, no spoilers. But like I said, I think there are some things that were changed in the game that were changed after the fact. And those parts are more apparent. You can see that it's not quite as smooth as it may have been.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me on that one?
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. So I wasn't crazy. You know, no. I'm a conspiracy theorist at heart. I'm not going to deny it. But yeah, I'm going to say that, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Nobody will ever admit it. Yeah,
definitely not. I mean, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I'll agree with that for sure. Like, I mean, after everything that happened, and then, you know, they kind of, didn't they push back the game?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the game got pushed back. Mm-hmm. I think there's no way that they can deny it, because obviously it's there. It's pretty apparent to me. But it doesn't take away from the game by any means.
I don't think it does.
No, and that's what we were worried about. Our biggest worry was that they were going to try to fix something that was not fixable at that point.
And it would be horribly broken. See, but the thing is that even by changing what they apparently changed, it hasn't made it any less disturbing than it would have been. That change did nothing.
Nope, did nothing.
I mean, I mean, I'm sure that it could have been worse, but you know, even like I said, there are some parts, some things that have been that are said in the game, some dialogue that takes place that I didn't hear because I didn't fail at certain parts, but I have heard other people say that makes me kind of want to go back and play again so that I can fail at certain parts so that I can
just hear. Too awesome. I don't fail enough.
I'm just too great.
I'm too damn good. And that's the funny thing, is that I worry about getting worse at games as I get older, but I seem to be getting better at games as I get older. But I think that what it is that I finally kind of hit that sweet spot in my kid's life where I can play more games. One, because I can play games with her. And two, because she's actually going to bed at a normal time most nights. So, and my research is revolving almost exclusively around games at this point. So it involves me playing a lot more games for my research. So my game playing is actually getting better rather than worse.
And there's different kinds of games now too.
I was gonna say I don't know about the Twitch games though, because I'm not playing many of those.
Like first person shooter games are difficult.
I'm still not taking on Nicole in a first person shooter in multiplayer.
Right.
Yeah, she's not kicking my ass like that. I'm not having that.
Samantha Blackman does not lose contests. She wins them, or she quits them because they're not fair.
Right.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
I'm not stupid.
Oh god. We'll see. And now I want to talk so much more about it, but we have to wait.
We have to wait.
I'm super pumped for us to talk about it, though. About what?
If I bought it on my PC.
Like I said, I think we should do what we... If Nicole can make time for us in her busy schedule. Spend an hour.
Yeah.
I'm game. Let's do it.
All right, I'll get it on my stupid PC. If any of our listeners wants to just send it to me, I'm cool with that. I'll totally sign our podcast.
Oh my gosh. Did you say you'll sign the podcast?
Listen, let's not put logic into this, okay?
All right, let's just not think that one through.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so that's, aside from gambling, that's what I played.
That's true, we did play a lot of slot machines.
Yep, slot machines, I played some roulette, I saw a man dressed as Cupid in very tiny clothing dance on Fremont Street.
Wearing a thong. You got the shit pasties. Scared out of me by
Master Chief, nonetheless.
How appropriate is that?
I know.
Right?
It was funny. Nicole screams. My mom screams. I turn around and then scream bloody murder.
I'm surprised he was ruined.
You know what's great is the one guy who decides to dress up as Master Chief is the shortest dude in the whole place.
It's really
hilarious.
That's because he's got short man syndrome.
Master Chief is like 7 feet tall.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the kid. Whoever that was dressed as him.
He doesn't.
He's got short man syndrome.
That does. He has a good costume, though.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. So we did play a lot of games, just not all necessarily video console games.
Indeed.
Yep.
Video poker, video slots, those kind of things.
Those kind of games. The original games.
That's right.
All right, y'all. What you reading?
Blogs. Woo!
I don't think I'm reading anything relevant to the podcast. I've been trying to do some race and technology stuff for an article that Sam and I were talking about doing coming up here. I can't remember offhand, though. I was unprepared for this. I don't remember what it was. I went on Google Scholar to see who cites Banks, and then the first book, and then Digital Griots.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to find a couple random articles to talk about that. So, that's what I've been doing.
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm reading a book that I don't know how I got. It just appeared on my Kindle. I'm sure I bought it. I was wondering, you know, if it maybe after, you know, a half bottle of wine or so, I must have bought it. Because it's not
a book. We call that pulling an Alex Lane.
Yeah, I pulled an Alex Lane. It's not a book that I would have normally bought because it's not really an academic book. Not that all the books that I buy are. But I'm doing kind of academic work right now that all my books that I'm reading, buying and reading are for the most part academic. And this was a strange one. It's by some guy I've never heard of. His name is Jordan Shapiro. And it's an independently published book on top of everything else. It's called Free Play, a video game guide to maximum euphoric bliss. That's not a book I would buy. That's a book I would giggle at. No. Just by the title.
Joke.
Right. But it's I've read the first part of it, and I'm going to say, since I bought it, I might as well at least try to read it, right? But he goes through, he talks a lot about kind of old games, like, you know, Space Invaders and Super Mario Brothers and, you know, stuff like that in Frogger. And he talks about games as interactive mythology, and talks about kind of like the nonlinear nature of games and so on and so forth. So it's been pretty interesting. Like I said, I haven't read very much of it yet. It hasn't made me put it down yet. It's, you know, not, like I said, it's not an academic text. And it's not, you know, it's interesting and probably useful even for the, kind of useful for the lay person, like somebody who's just interested, somebody just wants to pick up something and read something about games. Like I said, I'm sticking with it more right now because I somehow bought it, and I might as well at least try to read some of it, and see how that works out. So that's what I've been reading.
Oh man, I forgot to. I don't think we talked about this on the last podcast though. But, and I don't even know if we're supposed to say this on here. I don't think it matters about Krista.
Oh yeah, well we didn't talk about it, but yeah, I know I've been reading it too.
Well, I finished it.
Uh huh.
And I sent her my review.
Uh huh.
And she actually came back to me and said she made a lot of changes based on the feedback I gave her.
Oh, that's cool. Look at you.
Yeah. She, like, sent me a message with all these hearts and stuff in it saying she was like, oh, I love you so much, and I'm so glad you did that. Thank you, thank you. I was like, oh, my God. Like, send me your book to read anytime.
Yeah, so it's Krista Charter's second part of...
Lexi Cooper?
The Lexi Cooper mystery. Her second Lexi Cooper book. We've been the bimbo alert squad to kind of read through to see how things are going with Lexi pre-editing. She sent it to us. Well, she sent it to us right before kind of shit got crazy in my life, so I haven't been able to finish it. But I did read part of it, and my goal is to finish it within the next day or so, so that I can send her some real feedback before the week is out, before I leave for GDC this weekend. That's my goal.
It's good. Really good. You guys should, like, as far as listeners go, too, should be, like, super pumped for this one to come out. It's a lot of fun, and I'm pretty sure she's changed it since the one that she sent you guys, so there are some things that you'll be like, oh, I don't know about this, but she changed it, and it's awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, I'll make sure, like I said, I'll send her feedback before the week is out, and we'll try to get her back on to come talk to us again when the second book releases officially, and everybody else can grab it as well.
It's a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Fuck yes.
Hooray.
All right, y'all. What you drinking?
Beer.
Nothing.
What kind of beer?
George Killian's Irish Red.
Oh, I like Killian's Red.
Yeah.
It's not a bad.
Before I discovered IPA, that was one of my favorites.
God, this is my favorite. Actually, Sam Adams did an Irish Red, and it was pretty darn good as well.
Sam Adams is always a safe choice.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of those weird fruity summer beers.
Yeah, I'm not down with those.
I don't like fruit in my beer.
I don't drink Leinenkugel.
I love Leinenkugel.
I don't like fruit in my beer.
I don't know. Sometimes it's really hot out, and you want to drink all day without getting too drunk. Not me personally, but other people might.
Then you drink water.
No, I don't understand what you said.
But you drink water.
I'm not drinking anything. I had a 5-hour energy before the podcast to try and stay awake, which is not working, but
I mean, it's gonna kick in after we finish recording.
Well, I took it at like 6 o'clock, I guess, or 7 o'clock.
So then what's this half bottle of wine that's being drank?
Well, see, once again, remember, I've mentioned this before, But the red solo cup holds half bottle of wine.
Yep.
So I am drinking Pinot Grigio out of a red solo cup.
Woohoo!
I'm super having classy. Wine and cheese. I am classy. Ooh, echo.
Ooh.
That was like an epic moment for that to happen too.
I know. I'm classy. I'm classy because I'm having wine, but I'm having it out of a red solo cup, and I'm having cheese, which is. Cheese sticks and wheat thins. Cheese and crackers and wine. See? Classy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That is some awesome form of classy.
To see what having a kid does to your life. Drinking wine out of a solo cup and eating cheese sticks and wheat thins.
Oh, man. Living the high life.
Mm-hmm. Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. News.
News. I mean, I didn't put any links up because really, does anybody not know what's going on in gaming right now? Come on.
Let me just say. I said this last time we recorded, I had pre-ordered SimCity and got the beta, and I was so pissed at the beta that I canceled my pre-order.
Which was the best decision to have made. I mean, really, you saved yourself all this crap that's going on right now.
Yep, and all that money, because I still would have been pissed off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, so, you know, the whole, what really pisses me off about SimCity, the new one, is this whole little, all you can build is a little tiny town thing. Because you can't build a city bigger than 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very geographically small.
Which is really weird to me.
You can't make your city as big as you want. You can only build these little bitty tiny cities. You can build multiple cities, but you can only control one at a time.
Right. But they're supposed to be like economies linked together. Like, I think that's what they were trying to push more, is building like a kind of like a country. Kind of thing. Well, I'm using the wrong terminology. But
see, the thing is that they are supposed to be economies linked together, but they're not supposed to be all your economies. That's was part of their reason for the always on, or that's what they said was their reason for the always online, is that so your economies, you were playing with other people.
Right.
And your economies were hooked to theirs because you weren't guaranteed a spot next to your original city. Somebody else could just come along and say, oh, I'm going to build here. And that spot wasn't available anymore. So,
and
I mean,
they kind of screwed up that whole always online thing that kind of failed.
I think what happens with that, it's like the same thing where video games put all this money into like graphics and then got blown out of the water by like these social games, like these stupid little microtransactions games, like Money Wise, right? Because they're putting all this money into something for a user base that doesn't control the market anymore. And so when you look at something like the SimCity release, like their user base is not a user base where you're online, where you're constantly in contact with like other people, mm-hmm. and you have like this immersive thing with this community, right? Like that is not their user. And so they're like going after this user based on my guesses, a handful of people at their development studios being like, well, gamers want to be social and they want to be in constant contact with each other like they are in first person shooters, and that's why Black Ops 2 does so well in the multiplayer. Like that is a different type of player, or at least not, maybe not, it's a different type of player wanting a different type of game. Like maybe it's the same player for Black Ops 2 and
but they want a different experience with that game,
right? Like I don't play Sims when I want to play with other people. I play Sims when I want to play by myself with my computer offline, or if I'm in the car and I want to play my computer until it dies, I'm playing SimCity. You know, and so they messed up by pouring all of this time and money into an attribute that was the exact opposite of what their audience, what their gamer wanted.
Okay, I just say this?
Yeah.
That shit was a ruse, man. That is not why they made this always on shit. It is totally and completely about DRM. Seriously, that's what it was.
But you're not going to have any money from DRM if nobody plays your game either.
Well,
they must have thought they had a big enough user base.
They got plenty of fucking money, okay? Because the game has sold like 1.1 million copies in 2 weeks, and EA ain't refunding shit. if you buy your game from EA, I mean, and a lot of people did, because if you bought from EA, they gave you all these like free cities and all this other crap, and you could buy the $60 version or the $90 version. And EA is not refunding anybody's money if they want it.
That's a short-sighted profit play, then, because
they didn't think it was gonna. They didn't think it was gonna fail.
Right.
They didn't. They had no idea that it was gonna fail. Right. You know, they want to say, oh well, you know, their excuse was, you know, we didn't know how many people were gonna buy it. Really, you didn't know how many people pre-ordered that game. You don't know how big SimCity games actually are. You didn't see the response to that when you presented it at E3 for the first time last year. Are you kidding me? Yep. No.
And you know what though, too? The other thing is while we can say that they didn't kind of make this game for their customer base, at the same time they're playing to what, or they created it to what the industry seems to think that gamers have become. Because look at the PlayStation 4, and on the controller you have the share button, which drives me absolutely up the wall.
Yeah.
That's what they think gamers are now. We're all connected on Facebook, so that means when I do some cool move on Call of Duty, I'm gonna hit that share. Heck no, I like telling people about it. I don't create videos. Just, you know what I mean? Like, they did it because like the market's telling them to do it that way.
Yeah, the only time I share any video of any game that I create has been for Not Your Mama's Gamer. I've never shared like personal video with friends. I mean, or like a funny bug, right? Like that I've shared with you before. Like, hey Nicole, look at this crazy shit, right? This is where I'm stuck, right? But never just share it with everybody.
Right.
Yep.
I don't have a YouTube channel that I created to show people every time I get a headshot in Call of Duty. I mean, don't do that.
And most of the folks who are doing that are kids. Right, our younger kids are not your more mature gamer, and they have what seems to be the issue is that they're forgetting that the gamer base is getting older, right? Yep. And so the people that are actually the market for that kind of feature are not their gamer base. There's not those folks that are going to go in and plop down $500 for a game and an extra controller and one damn game.
Right.
And $500 is conservative because I'm pretty sure it's going to be more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not their user base.
Are we getting too old for this new generation of games? Is that a thing?
No.
Okay, no, good. We're not getting panicked for a second.
No, yeah, it's not that. It's just they're trying to make these innovative moves, and they're the wrong moves. The ones that exploit their users, like Sam was saying, that are trying to make them more profits and doing this, and they're just not investing it into
the right
stuff. Yeah, exactly. They're not investing into the right stuff. Because gaming is making more and more money constantly, and then you see shit like this, these huge companies that just flop. You know? So,
yeah. We'll see, I guess. I'm
pissed because they fucked my game. I love SimCity. That is my game.
You haven't even played this, have you?
Hmm?
You haven't even played, have you?
No, I wanted to so bad. But I'm not gonna if it doesn't work. And the only reason I play games like that is because I can, like, just chill out by myself.
And you are their user base. I mean, because you're the one who spends, you know, 200-300 hours playing Civ 4 and playing Tropico 4 and playing all these other games.
Sims
But the funny thing is everybody, you know what everybody's saying now? If you want the experience you thought you were going to get with SimCity, play Tropico 4. So you're already ahead of the curve.
It's exactly 100% right, though.
Yeah.
That's why I love Tropico 4, because it was like SimCity in Cuba, you know, like... Mm-hmm. With some cool historical stuff. But they're just like, they can keep making that kind of crap, but other places will come up with the Tropico 4s, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big want.
I mean,
and the CEO resigned.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, EA has really screwed the pooch on this one. I mean, but this is not the first time they've done this. They have made some huge mistakes lately.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I thought SimCity might be the thing that saved them.
I thought so too.
Maybe SimCity will be the thing that, maybe that's the last, you know, nail in their coffin though.
I think they're going to come out with Sims 4 this year.
They're going to have to.
Might save them.
I think that'll do it though?
But I think they're going to do that same shit on, always on shit.
If they do, then.
Their DRM stuff has been so crazy. I mean, think about, that was the reason Spore failed, remember?
Yeah.
Because they had the crazy DRM that installed on your machine. And that's why they went to the Always On. Because the DRM for Spore installed software on your machine that broke a lot of people's shit. And people got really mad. Because I know I bought it. I came home. I put it in. And it told me what I was going to have to do. I put that shit back in the box and took it back to the store. And I have been waiting for Spore since the first time I had seen it at like GDC. I was waiting for Spore. And I took it back to the store, never played it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so they went from that and they said, okay, so we can't do that again because people took the shit back to the store and didn't play it. And I was not the only one. It was all over the internet. People was like, nope, brought it home, popped it in, took it back to the store. And stores were taking them back open. So they knew.
Yeah.
They knew. And so they came up with the Always On. And you know what? Because regardless of what happened, and see, this is what I always tell people, you have to make your argument with your fucking wallet. Like I said, I canceled my pre-order. All these people who, even people who could return theirs didn't, you know, because, you know, they're like holding on to it because they're hoping it's going to work. You know what? By buying that game and holding on to it, regardless of whether or not you think the Always On is kind of dictatorial.
Oh yeah, dictatorial.
You're telling them that you're willing to bend over and take it.
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. Yep.
So I bet you $99.50 and 99.5% that they do the same shit with Sims 4.
If that's the case, then I'm done.
Well, they've sold 1 million. They've sold 1.1 million copies in 2 weeks. 1.1 million copies of fucking SimCity in 2 weeks. Do you think they're not going to do it for Sims 4? Yeah. What? Because there's no indication to them that people aren't going to buy it.
Right.
Well, they know that it's not as popular as it should be, right? And that's like,
no.
And that there's this huge outcry. That's why their CEO resigned, you know?
Well, that's because there's an outcry. Yes. But they're not giving anybody's money back.
Well, I wouldn't give them money back either, because that'd be all my money.
That'd be all my money.
They're not giving anybody's money back. And they're giving you shitty-ass compensation for it. Here, take one of 8 old-ass games that you already own if you really wanted to play.
Ew. Yeah. You're
right.
That sucks.
Okay.
Yay, EA.
Let me put my soapbox back under my desk.
It had to be said, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It had to be said.
That's all I have to say about it.
I'd say that's a pretty decent news section.
Agreed. I don't have an indie game this week, so I'm sorry. Wompity womp womp.
Womp womp womp.
Sam kind of did the indie game with To the Moon.
Yeah, I guess I did. It's fun. Play it. It's interesting.
Indie game of the week, To the Moon, go play.
I just got 4 indie games on Steam as we were talking, so now I have some for the next few podcasts.
Very good.
Indeed. So, issue.
Well, we said there's not an issue, but a feature. So this time out, what we're doing is we're sharing with you our panel of sorts. Uh-huh. From the 4Cs conference that we just went to. And before, people who are non-academics, you're like, oh God, not that shit. It was very non-academic-y.
I'm a non-academic. Hey, my name is Nicole Marie.
My name's Nicole Marie, and I'm a non-academic.
My name's Samantha Blackman, and I like to think I'm a non-academic.
I'm only an academic, so I never get out of the academic zone. I'm never inappropriate, never informal.
Boop-a-doop-boop. Boop, boop. So what we'll do is we will tell you a bit about about our bits, right? My bit was a bit about why we do what we do, right? Why we podcast as folks who work in the academy, and kind of what effect that has on us as podcasters and attempted members of the games community, or as well as what effect it has on us as members of an academic community, or attempted members of an academic community, depending on how we look at it and look at ourselves. I'm not going to talk too much about it, because what I'm going to do is going to go ahead and my part, because I was unable to go to Las Vegas with everybody else and gamble and drink way too much, is I recorded my part as a podcast itself. So we'll go ahead and include that probably at this point, or right after I finish speaking. And as well as Nicole and Alex's part, which I will let them tell you about. Hello, and welcome to the Not Your Mama's Gamer. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to start this like a podcast. Hi, I'm Samantha Blackman, and it almost seems fitting that circumstances would be such that I would have to communicate with you via the medium that we're here to talk about today. I will try to keep it as brief as possible so that we have enough time for the last speakers on the panel today. So sit back, relax, and imagine that you're doing dishes or walking the dog or driving your car, whatever it is that you usually do when you're listening to podcasts. First off, I want to tell you a little bit about why we started Not Your Mama's Gamer. Well, it kind of started with my own love of, games and podcasts, but also the kind of absence of kind of a critical feminist presence in the female podcasting community. So Alex and I had talked about it a couple of times, and I had batted around the idea of doing a podcast and a blog in my head, but hadn't really kind of said it out loud. And Alex came into my office one day and said, "Hey, what if we did a podcast?" And I said, "Well, let me think about it." And I thought about it for all of about 30 seconds or so. And I said, "Yeah, let's do this." And that was about 2.5 years ago. And we've been going strong ever since. The blogging part of Not Your Mama's Gamer was nothing that was really new to me. I have been blogging since I was a graduate student myself, which has been a while now. And so I kind of had a good idea of how well you could kind of reach the more techie part of the community with things like blogs, because I was blogging way back before there was even blogging software. And to a certain extent, podcasting is kind of an extension of that. So 2 years ago, when we started Not Your Mama's Gamer, I had already been thinking and writing about games in a more academic way for several years. And I was looking for a way to get my ideas about video games and feminism, video games and critical race theory kind of out to a broader audience and to start a conversation, because we had kind of come to the conclusion that the only way to kind of affect any kind of change, not only in the video game industry but in the community that surrounds it, was by including folks that are not traditionally included when we start thinking about the work that we do within the academy. Setting up Not Your Mama's Gamer in such a way that the community at large, as well as other academics, had the opportunity to chime in and add to the conversation was kind of this dangerously exciting prospect. And it's been a rewarding one. It's also been interesting in that oftentimes we have folks that are in the games industry and the kind of gaming community at large who don't quite understand where we're coming from all of the time. But simultaneously, we have folks within the academy, especially colleagues that I work with, who also don't have much of a clue of exactly where we're coming from. they question the kind of legitimacy of podcasting as a critical and intellectual endeavor. And Alex can tell you about the times that folks have kind of come by my office when she and I have been kind of gaming and talking and thinking and talking critically about something that we're playing, even something that we're writing an article about, and say something like, oh, I see that you guys are really working hard, right? Scare quotes around working. And also about how extremely frustrated I get, to say the very least, when that happens. Fortunately, over the last year or so, as kind of games and new media studies have become more kind of visible in the academic community, people have started to understand exactly where we're coming from. And one of the more exciting things, or another exciting thing, shall I say, is that over the last year or so, as our presence has become better known in the non-academic community, we've also been able to score some pretty good kind of interviews and mentions kind of in various academic and industry publications. And it's now that we're starting to feel like we're becoming a part of that conversation that we initially kind of set out to become a part of. I know that I personally am starting to feel like I'm less of the kind of crackpot in the department who plays video games, and kind of even more accepted as a colleague among some of the folks that we know and work with in the industry, game developers, game designers, games journalists, folks who do this for a living in a non-academic sense. But all of that aside, one of the biggest things that Not Your Mama's Gamer has helped us to kind of illustrate is the necessity of something like Not Your Mama's Gamer that is at its very core critical, but not necessarily academic in the traditional sense, when it comes to merging communities that almost see themselves at odds with one another. Especially now, when our own pedagogy and theories are so influenced by things like games and other kind of interactive media. It's not enough that we acknowledge its existence, but we also need a deeper understanding of these media in order to help our students to not only think critically about them, but to understand how it is that they, the students, understand the world around them. And the best folks to help us get that understanding are the people who develop games, the people who play games, the people who write about games, people who do this every day for a living, even if we ourselves do not. And as most folks know, the games community, the gaming community, can be a very misogynistic and racist place. So we're coming at this from subject positions that make this kind of establishment of kind of a geek cred instead of street cred even more difficult. But I think that in many ways it is that struggle that adds to what we do, because this is exactly what we're writing about. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is exactly the conversation that we're trying to start, a conversation that looks at specifically and predominantly the position of women within this community, women as gamers, women as developers, women as games journalists, but also the position of minorities and queer folks and other folks that are called capital O others in the community. So that kind of struggle is the embodiment of the theory that we're trying to bring in kind of a really
non-academic way. So before I keep like talking for way too long and run too terribly over on time, what I want to do for a few minutes is to talk a bit about how I see the work that we do at Not Your Mama's Gamer, kind of doing this with doing all the stuff that I've been talking about with some very specific examples. I'm not gonna, you know, talk much in great detail about what is contained in the interviews and such that we do, because next up, Alex is gonna give you some great excerpts from some of the interviews we've done at Not Your Mama's Gamer, unless we've gone out of order, in which case you've already heard them. So either way, you'll get the gist of it. One of the things that we've tried to do at Not Your Mama's Gamer is to kind of immerse ourselves in both communities simultaneously, as I've said, but also to listen to those communities, right? To listen to folks who may be parents, who may be gamers themselves, who may be academics who study games, who may be academics who are interested in the effect that games are having on their classrooms, and gamers who are wondering just why the hell academics are working with games in the first place. And then tailoring what we do in such a way that it's useful for a lot of different folks. So, you know, while we've gotten lots of interest in games and disability studies, both from academic and very practical standpoints. One of the things that we did is we went out and we did an interview with the founder of Able Gamers, which I'm sure you'll hear a bit of in just a few moments. And then we've also kind of addressed some of the more pressing issues in the community as they've come up, like with the number one reason why, kind of movement where women started to talk about the number one reason why they were in the industry, or the number one reason why women weren't in the industry. We were able to not only take part in that conversation as people who participate even tangentially in the industry, but also to do interviews with folks like Krista Charter, who's an author who had been working in industry for over a decade, and then left the games industry in very in kind of a very specific way, and it is now excuse me, writing mystery novels that take place in the games industry, or even the great interview that Alex did with Sherry Grainer Ray, who wrote Gender Inclusive Game Design. We've done all of these kind of great interviews that are kind of special that are kind of special moments for us, but also even on a weekly basis we kind of regularly post our kind of critical viewpoint on what's going on in the games industry. So it may be hiring practices in the industry, or it may be kind of a more critical game review that talks about some complex and problematic issues that we see in games. We do game playthroughs. We've recently started this thing where I talk about playing games with kids and kind of what I see when I play games with my own child. So we are trying to kind of approach this from as many angles as possible without spreading ourselves too thin. So we're trying to do this and still be thorough as possible, because in addition to kind of wanting to reach specific and various parts of the games and academic community, we still want to do a good job at what we do, because it is still the work that we do. It is the work of the field, regardless of whether or not some people recognize it as such. So that's been it's been a really kind of interesting journey. And I think we've had our interesting good and interesting bad moments, but kind of when we weigh things in the balance, we remain, as we say often during the podcast and even when we're writing and thinking and talking out loud, we remain hopeful, right? Because it is that hope that kind of keeps us going, that hope that the work that we do can make a difference, not only in the academy, but also in the industry itself. I mean, it's the same as with any other work that we as compositionists and retors do. We do the work that we do because most of us hope to affect some kind of change. And that's one of the important things to remember, is that even as rhetoricians, even as compositionists, even as teachers and theorists and scholars and gamers, we are at the core still a part of the academy, even as we are part of this other and othered community on the outside. So, before I talk too much, unfortunately, I'm not there to answer questions today, but I think that Alex and Nicole and Matt are going to do a great job of answering questions. But if you have specific questions for me that you'd like me to address, please feel free to email me at... Well, you can email me at nymgamer@gmail.com, or you can email me at blackmos@purdue.edu. One of these guys will be happy to write that email address down for you. I should have sent business cards, but I didn't think of that far in advance. We love to take questions on the show. So if you have questions about the work that we do with games as well that you'd like us to address on the show, please feel free to email us questions and we'll address them. So until later, thanks, and game on.
Yeah. All right, so mine was a talk, and I'll include the text as well as a short video that I made. What I talked about is how stuff like podcasting provides compositionists with sort of a unique format in order to intervene in the community. I talked about a bunch of the different research strategies that people use, especially feminist research methodology, which I've talked several times in the blog about. And the way that the podcast sort of works in tandem with the community, at least through like interviews and stuff, which we do a lot of, we are able to sort of walk the walk. We always say things should be community-based and we shouldn't be separate from our environments and we have to drop the notion of objectivity and things like that. But it's difficult to actually do that when you're paid little, overworked, and in a classroom all day. So the stuff like podcasting, to me, is sort of the solution or one avenue with which to address the sort of armchair problem that a lot of academics face. So I talked a lot about theory, got fancy with fancy words and fancy quotes. But really, it was just talking about the weird tensions that we feel between informal work and formal work and how things count differently. You know, the podcast, how does it even fit on a vita, right? But that it's so important to solid academic thinking that you're like a part of the environment. And then I have a mashup, which we will include in the, I don't know, show notes or something maybe. Mm-hmm. An audio mashup of some of the interviews that we've done that I think are pertinent to my point. So that's what I did.
It was awesome.
It was kind of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yay.
So I think then I came in because I'm less on the academic side and more so, I think the way I put it in our presentation was, I'm the proof in the pudding.
The proof in the pudding that this kind of stuff that we do in our classrooms can actually change students' lives for the better.
Right. Which is a bold claim.
I think it's right on the money.
I think it's right on the money. So, from my experience doing research with Sam as an undergrad student kind of led to my involvement with the podcast, which has then turned into this way for me to kind of communicate with the rest of the outside world, people who aren't in the conversation of what we do as on the podcast, how it's enabled me to kind of bring outsiders in to this conversation. And so in that way, the proof in the pudding is that by the existence of our podcast and the blog site, we've brought people into the conversation that never would have entered into it, into that realm of this world before.
Which is kind of a cool way of thinking about it, I think.
Right, right. Because the biggest thing is that most people probably don't think about it. Like most, I don't know how to PC say this, but women who don't game don't consider the things that we kind of have to say on here.
Yeah, I don't think that that's not PC at all. I think that that's totally appropriate. And like one of the biggest problems with getting women involved in games is that it's nothing that even shows up as an area of interest for them.
Right, right, right. Which was a point that you kind of made in your conversation, mm-hmm. in your point with
Cherry Green Erase Edit.
Cherry, yeah. Right, that women kind of don't even consider gaming to be a viable career option. Whereas then you have someone like me who that's all I can constantly think about.
Right.
But in that way, when I talk to women who would have never thought of it before, they're kind of like, really? Like, that's actually an option. Like, that's something that you can do. I mean, men, too. Mm-hmm. And even just by having this podcast, I mean, and maybe they're listening now, so I hope I don't offend them, but I have had guy friends approach me and tell me that they listen to this podcast, guy friends that I would have never thought in like the entire world would ever even consider listening to something like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so in that way, my involvement with this has brought in some people that I never would have thought of imagined before.
When you say that, it reminds me too, like of the different people who listen to this or like this or that. So like my parents, you know, read the blogs I write about my dissertation because they have no idea what to tell their friends that I do, right? So like my dad calls me and he's like, okay, me and your stepmom have read your blog on feminist research methodology 10 times tonight, and here's what I think you're saying. And then they like get super into it, right? Or like I have a academic friends like Terry Peterman, who comments on the blog all the time, mm-hmm. who like I would never pick out of a lineup and be like, you know, this dude cares a lot about feminist issues, right? Like,
right,
absolutely.
Who like goes crazy for our stuff and is like, this is really thoughtful way of thinking about things. And it makes me feel like though we're all about talking about feminist issues and women's issues in gaming, that like at some level the response we get from people who wouldn't typically be interested in those topics, the response we get shows that it's multiple audiences, that it's at some level, everyone recognizes that this is something that needs to be talked about, even if they don't see it explicitly, just right. The interest that you get. So,
right. Right. And that's kind of the idea that I was trying to get across in my portion of the presentation, is not necessarily that this isn't something that people don't want to talk about, but more so that they have no way to talk about.
Yeah.
So by like, and one of the examples I used, and this is totally a real life situation, I wasn't just making this up. I went to get my eyebrows waxed and the lady asked me, she's like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, like I have a podcast, whatever, you know, she's making small talk with me. So I'm making it right back, not even thinking of the effects it could possibly have on her. And we started talking about the fact that I like to play video games. And this happens all the time with women. They're always like, oh, I would never play video games, but my boyfriend does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that's funny because, you know, video games are a lot of fun. Like, I enjoy playing them. And then they'll say something like, well, it is interesting because I don't think I would play those games because of the way the women are portrayed.
Yep.
Oh, well, really? I kind of have, you know, there's the site that I'm participate in and we talk about those things. Here's a card. And then they come to the site.
Yep.
Boom.
And they're drop like, oh, wait, it's not just T and A. and shooting in these games. There's other stuff going on.
Right, exactly. So that's one of those things that I would, like, the idea I was trying to get across is mostly that in this way, I feel like I've brought people to the conversation that never would have been a part of it before.
But that's why we do this, right?
Right, and our online presence is something that they can fall back on.
Absolutely. It was a good presentation.
It was good. We were bawling up there on the stage.
It was really fun.
People were nodding their heads and laughing. It was
so
great.
Much head nods. Although, so head the nods. Best joke was, we also presented with Matt Barton, and he was giving his presentation, and, like, he was making some jokes that were kind of missing. And then he's just, like, going through his PowerPoint, and then it was, like, this picture of these two sea otters holding hands. And then he's like, how did that get in here? And then he, like, kept going, and everyone just lost it. It was so,
so funny.
Because, you know, it's hard to make jokes when you're up there, you know?
Well, and it wasn't necessarily that he wasn't making good jokes. I think they just weren't, like, catching it at the same time that he was, like, they weren't getting the punchline at the time they needed to. Exactly. So they were, like, missing it. And then he, like, gave them a second to catch up with him and with the otter picture, and it was just like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
I was sitting there thinking to myself, like, did he really mean to put that picture of the otters in there?
It was so funny. Yeah.
Aww.
It was so good, cute. Though. Yeah, it was good. We had good questions. People asked us good questions. And they even wanted to talk to us afterwards. And they had insightful things to say. And
it was cool. People, like, following us out, talking to us. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. We felt important. It was good.
Aw. Nice.
Yeah. And we were on a stage. So.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My first time doing that ever. And we walk into this room with a huge stage. And I was like, good. This is good. They had nice little vases of water for us. So that was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
First time. Maybe not your last. Maybe not your last.
Indeed.
Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. Maybe I'll be a speaker on the circuit.
Yeah. You can make a lot of money that way. No, you
can't. Yeah. No, you can't.
Yeah, no, you can't.
All right. Well,
there's our thing.
There was that hope and dream.
Like you said, so
we'll add in our stuff.
Right? We'll add in our stuff. You'll get to hear it, see it, experience it. Not in the same way that it was originally delivered, but pretty close. And we welcome, of course, as always, any conversation about what it is that we've shared. So you can leave us comments here on the blog. You can send us email at nimgamer@gmail.com. You can come to Facebook and leave a nice little post at our on our Facebook wall.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be happy to have a conversation there. We take voicemail. We take video mail. We take anything you got. Hey, we're not picky.
Including a free copy of Tomb Raider. Steam name, Lane at Purdue. It's with a Y. Sorry.
You are so funny.
You're not. Seriously.
And what else I gonna say? I totally spaced on it because Alex Lane threw me off.
Oh, what? I was distracting? Yeah. With my request for Tomb Raider? I don't know.
So we have all those ways to contact us. We're happy to interact with you in any of those ways. It's always fun. We look forward to it. Deals for Broke-Ass Gamers. I'm horrible. I didn't really look up Deals for Broke-Ass Gamers.
Steam has a ton of stuff on sale. Like, a ton of Greenlight games. A ton of indie games are, like, between 30 and 50% off. Like I said, I just filled up my cart before, so... There's a ton of stuff. The Midweek Madness is Saints Row the Third and Magic. But that doesn't even matter. Just go for the indie games and the Greenlight games. They're crazy on sale.
There are some crazy ones on sale. If you've got a PlayStation 4 and or Vita at this point, PlayStation, Sony's making it hard not to become a PlayStation Plus member with their free games. With their free games every month, and they're giving away some good games, but they're only good as long as your place. They only work as long as you're a PlayStation Plus member. Like, you know, they've had some, they've had like Joe Danger, the movie was one of the games this month. Closure was one of the games this month. It's an indie game. But the game, one of the games that hit today is a free game on PlayStation Plus, The Cave, Double Fine's game. And that's a fairly new game. So if you haven't played it yet, you can easily kind of download it for free if you're a PlayStation Plus member. And there's lots of games, like the games that have been probably biggest on the Vita are now free. So that would be stuff like Uncharted, Gravity Rush, all the good stuff except, unfortunately, well, it's not unfortunately because I already own it. Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation hasn't hit as free yet. But there's some good games, some good solid AAA titles that have been that have hit as free. I'm playing Plants vs. Zombies for the umpteenth millionth time. Little Big Planet is free on the Vita. I mean, all these games that are part of the, they call them the Instant Game Collection. Check it out, definitely, if you're a PlayStation, if you're a PlayStation owner. Well, especially if it's kind of your main platform. But if you got to choose one or the other, I'm a little biased. I still say Xbox Live is the place to be because I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess that's also because that's my main console. It's the controller that is most comfortable for me and all. So,
yep.
Anyway, that is a thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, you have all those wonderful ways to contact us. Come by and check the blog at nymgamer.com. Leave us comments. Read our wonderful pithy posts. There's always interesting stuff to read. You can follow us on Twitter at nymgamer. You can follow us independently on Twitter. I figure we should probably say that too at some point.
That's true.
I am Sophista, SAFFISTA, on Twitter. Alex?
Gamer Lane with a Y.
That's GAMERLAYNE.
That's right.
And I'm 8-bit bitty. And that's the number 8, BITBITTY.
You can follow us all on Twitter. Stalk us. Figure out what we're doing. What we're talking about.
Don't stalk us.
Okay, I'm joking about the stalking part. I forget. Lane's a little sensitive about the stalking part.
Yeah. Let's not make jokes about that.
So, and here's the thing. I meant to say this. We get lots of friend requests on different platforms and such, and I'm more than willing to make friends with people who are listening and play games with people who are listening. But like I said, I get a lot of friend requests, and I get friend requests even from folks who don't listen but that I've like played games with before multiplayer, because yeah, even though I bitch about it, I do still play some stuff multiplayer. If you send me a friend request and you're from Not Your Mama's Gamer, you need to let me know that, because otherwise I may just ignore your friend request or say no.
Yeah, same here. Let me know, because I play Black Ops Online a lot, and so I get people who want to murder me friend requesting me. So please just say, I listen to NYMG, and then I will immediately friend you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because all
so
of our...
So add us. Just give us a heads up.
Just give us a heads up. We're happy to add you back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So I guess that would be it. We've covered it all. We've got some great stuff in the works. Got some interesting stuff coming up. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Make sure you pay close attention. You know, oh gosh, if you see me at GDC next week, if you're out there, give me a holler. Happy to chat with people. Or follow me on Twitter, and then you can stalk me at GDC. Not.
There you go.
Please stalk, don't have me running out of... Stalk-ish. Don't have me running out of the Moscone Center. Because I will run. I amuse me. like I said, keep an eye out for some interesting stuff. We got some interesting stuff coming. Until next time, stay safe, stay warm, don't stalk, and as always, game on.
Game on.